Confident Mom podcast. I'm Trish Blackwell, your host and confidence coach, and this is a podcast community for busy moms who want to be confident that they are being the best version of themselves they can be, so that ultimately they can be confident moms to the little ones God has given them. I'm a first-time mom learning the ropes of motherhood and humbly learning from those who have gone before me on the beautiful journey it is to be a mom. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Confident Mom community. Guys, we're on episode 13 and we're talking about Duck Syndrome today. I'm going to be talking to you about what is Duck Syndrome and how it's become a toxic part of your life, why fighting against it is going to increase your happiness, and then I'm going to share with you five specific ways to stop the syndrome. I've been thinking about ducks because my daughter's obsessed with rubber duckies, like loves them. You see a rubber ducky and she sees it and you squeak it at her, she will drop everything she's doing and just crawl her way silly to you to just grab it. It's just so fun and it's a great reminder for me. As you're going to learn, duck syndrome has been quite a part of my life, and you're going to hear about what duck syndrome is, how it's seeped into our lives so sneakily, and ways to break free from it. So we're going to dive into that in just a second. I want to thank you for being a part of this Confident Mom community. It's just been an honor to get to share and connect. And the big thing about being a confident mom is being someone who is willing to say, here's where I'm struggling. Here's where I need support. Here's what I'm not sure about. Can I learn from you? It's about taking down the walls, breaking down the walls. Confidence, true confidence, y'all, comes when we give ourselves permission to not have to be it all and do it all. It gives us when we give ourselves permission to just be ourselves. And it's knowing that we don't have to pretend to have everything in life effortlessly put together, effortlessly perfect. That we don't have to know it all and be it all, because that's the beauty of community. We get to share with other people, and what we excel at, we can help others. We'll fill in the holes for where someone else is not great in that area. And where we struggle, where we have a hole, where we need support, that's when someone else steps in. That's the beauty of a community, and that's the beauty of this Confident Mom community. So thank you for that. Let's do a quote on motherhood, and we'll dive into the subject. Elizabeth Stone, and I'm sure y'all have heard this, it's just a great, great quote. Elizabeth Stone said, making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking outside of your body. And here's to all of the little hearts of ours walking outside of our body. Here's to learning and pursuing how to be the best mothers that we can be, so that we can pursue and share confidence and joy and beauty onward and pass it forward to our children. That our children, my prayer is that my child never feels the pressure of duck syndrome. Okay, so the concept of wanting to talk about duck syndrome really was this topic that I couldn't get rid of, because it kept coming up in different little various ways in my life. And I guess the first place to start with it when we're talking about it today is, what is duck syndrome? And then, well, why should we in the first place fight against it? And then how should we? So here it is. What is duck syndrome? I want you to imagine that you are at the edge of a pristine lake. It is absolutely beautiful. Let's just say it's at sunset. You're standing on a dock. The water is gently lapping back and forth, and you see a group of ducks, and the ducks are moving, you know, but they look on the surface, they look like they're just gliding smoothly on the water. Well, you and I both know that ducks aren't just chilling and gliding with the wind. The wind may be blowing and maybe that's helping them, but maybe the wind is actually not at their back and is at their face, and they're still moving forward. Well, the image is that we conjure up and we think about a duck is that a duck under the surface. Well, and typically I think about a duck's on a lake, and lakes more often than not, you can't see through. So when we look and watch what's happening in that movement, I can't see a movement. I just see the duck moving. I see the serenity and the peacefulness and the, let's just call it, perfection, because that's what we're talking about today, this perceived perfection of the duck who's effortlessly moving forward and gliding as if nothing was happening. Yet if I could see underneath the murkiness of the waters, I would see that duck paddling its butt off. I mean, just digging at it ferociously. And that's the thing, is like a duck on above the surface doesn't look like they're moving or trying or doing anything. Underneath the surface, they're working their tail off. And so in 2003, the University of Duke started investigating some of the pressure that female students were feeling to be what they called, quote unquote, effortlessly perfect. And that is this false perception and personification of this idealized woman that we're supposed to be smart, accomplished, fit, beautiful, and popular. Those are five big things. Ready? Smart, accomplished, fit, beautiful, and popular. Those are certainly things that I've felt before and I still have to fight to not buy into. All without being, here's the clutcher and the key, all without being visible effort, all without putting forth effort. Because when we think about this perfect woman or this perfect person that we think we want to become, it's not enough to say, yeah, I worked hard for it. What we feel, this expectation and pressure from society, whether you're a mom, whether you're a student, whether you're maybe just starting out on your career, or you just want to claim the role of being a woman, and I don't care how many other identification factors you have on you. This is a pressure that we've all certainly felt at some point. It's not enough to be who we are. It's not enough to be great. It's not enough to be smart, fit, accomplished, beautiful, and popular. No. We need to make it look like it's just easy for us, that everything just falls in place. And what a lie. Gosh, even saying it like with a positive attitude is exhausting for me, because it's so inauthentic. It's so unrealistic. It's so far from the reality of what real life is supposed to be. And here's the thing, it's such a disconnect. It's a disconnect emotionally. It's an isolating effect, because one, we know that's not realistic to be able to be effortlessly perfect. The ducks move forward because they're paddling and working hard. We're going to move forward in life because of hard work and because of our mindset and because of our goals and our determination, not because we effortlessly fell into the accomplishments that we want or the success and significance that we're seeking. It doesn't happen effortlessly. And so for us to give off the fake facade and the insinuation to anyone around us that it's effortless perfection, that our hard work, yeah, like if we play small on the hard work that we're putting out, we're doing an injustice, not just to ourselves, but to others. The injustice is that others are given the wrong message, that it's easy for you and they must be doing something wrong because they have to work really hard. So what is it? How is it that you're not working hard, but you're getting all these benefits? Well, it's just false. It's not true. You are working hard. And then secondly, because of that disconnect, you become someone that people think, well, I don't understand her. I don't understand him. They're just different. And then you start becoming and feeling the effects of being socially isolated. But the thing is you've done it to yourself. You separated yourself from other people to put up this facade that you're perfect. And as a result, you're an island, because it just doesn't exist. And so it's hard to connect with you. So it's so funny, we get bought into this. We get sold the lie that we should have effortless perfection. And the lie ends up isolating us and making us feel worse than we ever before. Because I'll tell you what, if you've ever bought into this, and I certainly have, in my days of high school and college, when I was really a type A and a perfectionist and I think those are natural characteristic traits of who I am. I think I'm naturally at the propensity to be a type A personality. I'm a go-getter. I love just achieving, right? But I also have perfectionistic tendencies. The difference between who I am now and who I am today versus who I was in high school and college, and even the first years out of college, is that I'm not allowing those tendencies to be my character. In the past, I actually took pride in that. Oh, I'm a type A. Oh, I'm a perfectionist. It became my excuse and my crutch for everything, my justification of why I was so hard on myself and why I was so critical and why if I didn't make it look effortlessly perfect, why it was a failure. And so now I still have some of those characters and some of those things that we have, some of our greatest strengths can be our greatest weaknesses, but they can also still be strengths if we use them in the right amount. So now I fight against allowing myself to buy into perfectionistic thinking. I catch myself. I sort of, when I feel myself leaning that way, I sort of have to raise the red flag and then sit back and assess what's really going on here, Trish. Why are you being so driven to a certain parameters of perfection, so to speak? And I have to reassess and realign and analyze my goal at that point. I'm getting a little off subject, but just to say to you is that I've lived the duck syndrome. I have lived it very well, and I lived it for a long period of time. Let's just call it for at least 8 years. And I'll tell you what I think I hated the most about it. I hated the anxiety that I felt at the end of the day when I went to bed and I knew I had to do it all again. Oh, it's like this, like, oh my gosh, I put so much effort into making everything look effortless. I put so much effort into caring about what people thought of me, how I looked, how I turned in my papers, how I did this, how I performed in the pool, how my runs were. I mean, all of this stuff, so much effort. But then it's not just the effort, it's the effort on top of the effort to make it look effortless, that then you think to yourself, at the end of the day, you go, I don't know how long I can hold this up. I don't know how long I can keep this up. And then worse than that, because you know it's kind of a false perception that you're sending out to the world, the deeper message that I had to myself is that if people really knew who I was, if people really knew how hard I was working, if people really knew the insecurity I was battling and fighting to hide by being this little swimming duck and trying to have everything look effortlessly perfect, if people really knew, well, then they wouldn't like me. Because when you make so much effort to look effortlessly perfect on the outside, I think it's a sign that our deepest fear is that there's something wrong with us on the inside. And it's just not the case. This title of duck syndrome came in from Stanford University. So Duke starts researching. A lot of the schools are trying to understand in the early 2000s what's going on with this pressure that college students are feeling, and a lot, as a result, they're getting a lot of breakdowns, a lot of addiction issues, and so that's where this research started coming in. And Stanford University, they call it the duck syndrome, because a duck appears to glide calmly across the water, while beneath the surface it is frantically and relentlessly paddling. The perception of this perfect life is, y'all, it's a huge contributor to this misperception among students and among young adults, and gosh, among adults, that other people aren't struggling. So that's the isolating. And I wanted to talk about the subject because I've built this podcast community for just that, for community, because because of the duck syndrome, I lived a lot of my years in what no one knew was really social isolation, but it was. I had tons of friends. I was, you know, involved in everything. I had the blessing of really being that person that could float in between social groups. So I had a lot of friends, but I was socially isolated on the inside because I wasn't really true to who I was on the outside. And so I want to bring up that duck syndrome is this destructive sort of hurdle obstacle for us to overcome if we really want to connect with community. It's the perception of a perfect life in whatever format it is, wherever you, when you think of, gosh, that person has a perfect life, the perception of that, anytime you think of that about someone else, we've got to catch ourselves and stop saying, gosh, must be nice to be her, or must be easy to be them, because we don't know what goes on the other side. The grass is always greener, y'all, when you can't see the poop on the grass. Like, you look in the neighbor's yard, well, then go walk in it. There's dog poop there. Like, there's dog poop everywhere. Let's just be realistic and call it what it is, that everyone out there is struggling. Let's stop buying into it and allowing ourselves to buy into it, but also allowing the people we love to buy into the isolating fear that we're the only ones struggling. So why am I thinking about this in the first place? Like I said, it's been coming up a couple, just over and over. And really because I think it was just, I've had a lot of listeners reach out and ask about perfectionistic thinking and different ways it displays itself. I've also, wanted to bring up duck syndrome because I've also experienced, you know, duck syndrome is something that we experience on both sides. One, we actually either live it and we are that little duck, right? You know, trying to, swim along and we're just kind of going side to side and thinking, well, the world's going to think I'm effortlessly gliding, right? And that was my high school and college days, as I was telling you about. And it's exhausting. I don't want to go back there. But I've also been on the other side, whether when I was, the little duck myself or when I'm now even catching myself, if I'm not fully aware and I see someone and I think, wow, effortless perfection, or wow, their success is just coming right along, isn't it? You know that quote you hear people talk about, there's no such thing as an overnight success, but we always attribute people to having overnight success because we've not seen the days, the weeks, the months, the years of work and effort and 4 a.m. wake-ups and prayer and crying and reflection and whatever it is, the hard work, that's the effort that has gone into what to on the outside when you only know 1% of the story looks like effortless perfection. And so I've actually suffered from being both. So it's a call to arms to me to notice that whenever I feel like I'm looking at someone and going, gosh, must be nice, I need to self-correct immediately because that thought pattern is not taking me anywhere. Furthermore, it's certainly not loving that person because that person, they are working hard. Even if they're pretending that they're not working hard, they are working hard and they deserve my respect and my admiration for that. So here's a couple ways. I just jotted down this morning as I was preparing for this topic. I really wanted to come up with a way to take this concept. Like, we know that the duck syndrome's out there, but why should we really care? Like, I want to get you fired up enough today that you go, okay, I don't want to be a duck anymore. I don't want to be putting off buying into this lie that the world is selling us of effortless perfection. And here's why. Because it's inauthentic. It's not really what's happening. Like, it's really is about, it's like the ultimate definition of being inauthentic. Like, if we're striving after authenticity and a life of congruency, this isn't it. Like, it certainly is. Like, that's the most basic definition and reason to fight against it. And I find for me, anytime I'm not being congruent and true to who I am, I feel an anxiety, an angst that starts rising in my heart. I can feel just, it's almost like someone's just gently just scrubbing and jarring me on the inside. And it's this rub that really just, I don't know, it's like an unsettled feeling that I can't always put my finger on. And then now I've learned and I've journaled enough, I've learned that, okay, when you feel like that, Trish, there's typically something that's going on that's not being congruent to who you are and what you're doing, or what you say you're going to do and what you're actually doing. So there's a congruency issue. So anytime we fall into inauthenticity, ultimately, we're selling ourselves short. We're selling ourselves short on the opportunity to live life to the fullest because it's offsetting our emotions in a way that we can't engage fully in life. Okay, another second reason to fight against it is that it's isolating. I started mentioning this before, but whether you're the duck or you're watching the duck, if you're buying into the duck, let's just say that, if you're buying into the duck, you're going to feel isolated. You're either going to feel not good enough, or you're going to feel, not good enough and inadequate, or you're going to feel incongruent and false and freaking exhausted and fearful that, you know, if people really knew what was going on and who you really were and how hard you had to work and everything that you're really doing to put up this front, that everything's easy. And, if people only like the perfect you and that's not the real you, will they like the real you? So it's isolating because then you start hiding yourself more and more. You fear letting yourself being known. So you let people know the parts of you that you feel safe about, but not the parts that matter. And so then you feel disconnected and isolated from a true sense of community, even if you're surrounded by thousands of people every day. It is very easy to be in a room of 100 people and feel alone. The other reason to fight against it is that it's exhausting, y'all. I cannot express this enough. I know if you've done it yourself, if you've been a duck and you've started this pattern, if you've bought into the lie has been sold to you or even just taught to you. Maybe someone said, hey, this is what you need to do if you want to be successful. Don't let people know how hard you work. If you want to be popular, if you want to be do all this. Maybe you know what that fatigue is, but it's a fatigue, y'all, that doesn't go away until you change your actions. It's just, you guys, it's false and it's based on lies. Here's the other thing that I find that it's really important, a reason to, let's just get rid of the duck, is that it discourages us. And it discourages others, right? So it's like I said, at the end of the day, we're discouraged because we think, oh my God, I got to do it again. I'm not sure how long I can keep this up. And then it, on the flip side, so we go to bed exhausted and discouraged, and then the people watching us go to bed exhausted and discouraged because they think, gosh, how are they holding it all together? How is everything? How are they raising 4 kids and no one fights and the family's perfect and they've got so much money that they can do whatever they want with it? How it's not fair. It's not fair. I'm never going to get to the goal, whatever the goal that you're comparing and you're watching someone. It discourages you. It discourages me. It discourages everyone in the scenario. And here's the bottom line. We are a community. This confidence community is a community about lifting others up, right? Lifting ourselves up so that we can lift others up. Lifting others up so that we can all as a community start making a positive impact and an impact of significance and love in this world, right? So if we're pursuing something, and I'm really talking about perfectionism and perfectionistic thinking, because y'all, I've done a lot of episodes on this, but it's a message that perfectionism is such a message that's so strong in today's society that we've been taught, it's almost been force-fed to us. And so this is just another way to say, let's put our foot down. Let's stop being okay with what we've been okay with in the past, because our past has not gotten us to the point where we are living a life that is uplifting and encouraging and really beautiful. Let's stop discouraging ourselves and discouraging other people and tearing everyone down in an effort to pretend that we've got it all together, in an effort of self-glorification. You know, self-glorification, it's like when we fall prey to this, to the duck syndrome, to buying into being a duck, we really are focused. It's like I can catch myself when I start going, okay, are you being a duck right now, Trish? When you're focused on impressing others, like when I care about what other people think more than about what I know I'm called to do, then I know I'm buying into this effortless perfection. I know I'm buying into, what do other people think of me? How can I paint my life to make it look like it's all together? Because it's not all together. And that's the beautiful mess of life. That's what makes life beautiful. The difference between being focused on other people's opinions and impressing others and earning their approval, it's a difference between that, or if you want to make an impression on others, or do you want to make an impression that is with your purpose and your potential and on the world. So it's okay to have, impression is not a bad word, but it's a difference of who are you trying to impress. Are you trying to impress others, or are you trying to make an impression of you, of impact and change that's needed in this world? Are you trying to bring a little love to the world where it needs some love, some light where there's darkness? So those are the ways. So again, reasons to fight against it. It's inauthentic. It's isolating. It's exhausting. It's false and based on lies. It discourages us and it discourages others, meaning that it lifts no one up. It is really serves no purpose. And then it's self-glorifying. So hopefully that list has convinced you to say, let's get rid of the ducks, and let's stop being ducks and let's stop buying into it. And here I wanted to come up, right? So great idea, Trish, but how do I do that? Well, I wrote down 5 ways that I am proactively trying to stop the syndrome. And there's certainly more methods to do it. There are certainly more steps. I bet I could have come up with a list of 25 ways. But I don't know, sometimes it's better just to keep it short and simple. And here's the number one. I think we should be more honest with our struggle. So we stop the syndrome by being honest with our struggle. Let's tell people what we're struggling with. Let's stop believing that we need to put on a facade of perfection. And that, I mean it from a personal level, but now as a new mom, I'm experiencing this from a parental level of you know, how do people perceive me as a parent and as a mom? How do people perceive me and my family as a family unit? So there's a lot of different levels, and I think it's so important to be honest with your struggle. And you can have an amazing, like, let's just use marriage for example. You can have the absolute best marriage, but if it's a real marriage, it's gonna have some struggle. And that doesn't mean you're airing your dirty laundry out to everyone, but it means that for the people that need to know, let them know, yeah, I've walked that season of life too, and here's how we overcame it or worked through it, and here's how God stepped in and guided us through it. Let's be honest with our struggle, because if we don't admit there's a struggle, in some ways we're sort of thinking that we're little gods of our own lives. Like, I've got it all together, all under control. Well, I don't really have, my personal beliefs is I don't have it under control, which is exactly why I need to fall to my knees every day and why I need God. He's in control. He fixes my struggles. I'm human. So the second way to end the syndrome is to let people see your mess. Now, I wrote this one down and I immediately felt convicted, and I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to have a play date with some young moms recently. And let's just call it what it is. December was wreaked havoc on my family's life because we traveled. We just had a lot of coming and going with company. So, you know, imagine yourself at the end of the holidays. Your house is not necessarily as pristine as you would like it to be. It was a miracle the other week that I got all the bathrooms in my house scrubbed and cleaned, and toilets and, you know, floors. I mean, I was impressed with that. But I certainly, my carpet could go for some steamer work. I've got some stains on the carpet. I've got stuff that's not organized. It just doesn't look, the house does not look. There are certain areas of the house where I would have had the play date, of course, where I was embarrassed of my mess. I was embarrassed of things that I had said, okay, that's an hour of work I need to do to just declutter and give some stuff to Goodwill. So instead of inviting these moms over, we had a play date somewhere else. I bought into the duck. Rather than invite people over and open my house and open my heart and say, come see the real me, I cowered in fear. And the next day I went, oh my gosh, Trish, what a great reminder. This is a lesson you need. You need to let people see your mess. And I mean our mess emotionally. I mean our mess in real life. Like, people need to walk in and know that your house isn't always perfect. A perfect house isn't a warm house. A warm house starts with a warm heart. And here's the end of the day. No one cares. No one cares how perfect your house looks, if you have the right decor or not, or if you're still in transition. People care about how you make them feel. And so we've got to let people see our mess. The third way to stop the syndrome is to live to love and build others up, not to build yourself up. So if we could live each day with intention to build others up and to love others, then I think we're going to, just that concept itself takes you away from the lake. You can't be a duck if you're just worried about loving, building others up. Number four, acknowledge your hard work. So sometimes we start buying into the duck syndrome without realizing it because we don't give ourselves time to celebrate the hard work. We think, well, we just got to keep going, got to give it up, keep going, and don't let anyone know how hard we're working. I think it's okay to say, man, I've been working really hard at this. I'm so pleased with making some progress. Let's acknowledge our hard work and then also celebrate it. Give ourselves, and when you celebrate, that is when you can be a little duck and let yourself glide on the surface. And you can be a duck if you tuck your little, what are they called? Your feet. I'm gonna call them duck feet. You tuck your little feet up and you put your back to the wind and you let that wind push you for a little break. Number five, the fifth way to change the syndrome and to stop it is to change your goals. It's to go against perfectionistic thinking and other people's opinions, to strive. It's to set your goals to strive for significance rather than for success. And if there's anything you could do today, I want you to take a piece of pen and paper out and write those two words down, significance versus success. Because if you can delineate between those two and decide which is the one that you're pursuing, I think more often than not, if you find yourself pursuing success, so to speak, now that doesn't mean if you're pursuing significance, you don't have goals that are going to be markers of success, but are you pursuing success for the sake of success and other people's opinions and applause? Or are you pursuing significance to make an impact in this world? For me, when I write those two on paper and I look at that and I assess if I'm being a duck or not, or how to get out of that duck mode, right? For me, it's a shift in thinking, stop striving for success, instead pursue significance. So those five ways to stop the syndrome. Number one, be honest with your struggle. Number two, which is an expansion of the number one, let people see your mess. Number three, live to love and build others up, not focused on yourself. Love others first, build them up, and then you're going to feel loved and built up as a result. Number four, acknowledge your hard work. Stop playing small with how much work that's gone into what you're doing. And then number five, change your goals. Strive for significance, not success. You guys, that's it for today's show. I hope you're inspired to strive for significance. Teach our children how to do that. Let's pass on love. Let's get rid of the ducks in our lives. And let's just learn to celebrate one another in our mess and in our true selves. Because I'll tell you, sometimes when life's messy, it's the most fun, right? It's the funniest as well. Life can just be ridiculous. And let's celebrate that. And let's stop trying to put on this big, fake, inauthentic, and toxically destructive facade that everything's easy. Because it's not. It is what it is. You guys, just quick sponsorship note. I want to thank Beauty Counter for partnering with me to sponsor this podcast. Beauty Counter is a company that I'm a proud educator and consultant for, because it's a company that stands for a mission. We are on a mission to change Congress and Congress's view of legislation for product safety in America, for chemical regulation increase in our personal care products. We are a company that creates beautiful, I mean, you want to have the best skin products, you want to have the absolute most beautiful makeup products that are safer for you, that are high performance, and that, I mean, like, the product line speaks for itself. It's the best products I've ever used. Ever. I love what Beauty Counter has done for my skin and for my daughter's skin, and her eczema completely cleared it up. I can't say enough about the product, but the product is what I love, but the mission of activism and change to make a difference of health in America is what really gives me my passion for Beauty Counter and why I'm so excited to share Beauty Counter with you. And just an important reminder, what we put on our skin gets seeped into our bloodstream. And so we put so much effort every year thinking about what kind of food we're going to put in our bodies. And I want to challenge you today to think about, well, what kind of chemicals are you putting into your bloodstream? And if you want to take some of the brain work and guesswork out of what chemicals you're putting into your bloodstream, I can tell you this. I can tell you that Beauty Counter has the highest and strictest and most rigorous screening process for chemicals in the industry of personal care products. So for me, that seals the deal. I'm Beauty Counter all the way. You can check out Beauty Counter products at beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. Again, that's beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. And if you have any questions, send me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com. Guys, now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. Be the confident mom that you were created to be. You can get more confidence resources at my website, trishblackwell.com. And make sure you get my free one-page roadmap to confidence at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. Thanks for being a confident mom. Now go out there today, be you, be free, be as confident as you were meant to be.